Well, I'm Jamie Johnson, and I am the new Family Ministries Director here at The Orchard, and I thank you so much. I really do. I appreciate it. I'm excited, and I thank you so much. Some of you, like Scott said, I've gotten to know. I was here last July and spoke and shared my story with the stories and songs and shared my heart and my life story. And more than just sharing my story that weekend was so significant because I really connected. My heart really connected with so many people. And it's just amazing that all of a sudden now I'm here with you in this community. So I thank you so much. And for the last 90 days, I've had the privilege of working with great volunteer teams who care so deeply about kids, youth, and families in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm honored, and I really do thank you. You know, I was told by Scott to say, Jamie, you know, I want you to talk about anything you want today, okay, since we're in between series. And so I was thinking, you know, well, what is it that people will need to hear? What is it that would be a little bit unique? And I thought about it. You know, I do have a unique opportunity to share with you some of my observations from a new guy's perspective. Now, how many of you have been a new person or a new guy or a new gal in your work before? Where you walk in and it's kind of an interesting dynamic because it's a little vulnerable because, you know, people are getting to know you and they're kind of looking at you and observing you and you're getting to know people's names. But the positive thing is you're really walking in and you are observing everything. You're looking and getting to know people's names. You're looking how things are done, what people are doing. You're looking at the whole vibe of the organization. And so it's interesting. That's one of the positives about being a new person. So I'm going to share with you a few observations, but before I dig into there, just a little bit about myself. I am from Minnesota, the land of moon boots and winter coats, okay? All right. So any moon boot wearers, come on. Any old school moon boot? Anybody remember moon boots? Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for that hand. Absolutely. Moon boots and winter jackets. And I'm from Minnesota, and I do want to acknowledge her because she's the best part of me. Edwina, could you please stand? I appreciate her. Thank you. Can we give her a hand? And she's actually still transitioning from Bethel University. She's a dean in Bethel, so she's still not officially here yet. So it's never happened in our 14 years of marriage. We've never had gaps of like three-week intervals of not seeing each other. So yesterday, it's been 3 weeks since she came, you know, parked the car, and we saw each other, and we hugged, and like there was a little bit of a tear. But then what was amazing, for 2 days, man, I have to run away from her, man. She's chasing me down. And so some of the ladies, can you please help her after the service? You know, just tell her to tone it down just a tiny bit, okay? But it's great to see you. And Edwina, really, I love you and thank you so much. I've been here 90 days and it's amazing. It's amazing thinking I was here July and now I'm on staff and I've been here 90 days. And it's amazing. And I've never relocated in my life before. I'm a born and bred Minnesota boy. I've never relocated anywhere. And in what's amazing to me, my most surreal moment came when I, you know that JCPenney's down the street on Orchard by that Target? I was in JCPenney's, and the surreal moment came. I was looking at clothes. It was in the mid part of September. And I'm in there, and I look up, and all I see is dark navy and orange everywhere. Okay? Everywhere. Man, if you're a Bears fan, go ahead and clap your hand off, man, all right? Y'all are 6-3 and feeling cocky and all that. And it was like my surreal moment. Like, listen, I have my 20 years my wife was in Minnesota. She's originally from Illinois, okay? And I cannot convert her to be a Vikings fan. Once, not at all. See, once a bear, always a bear, okay? But let me tell you something, and a quick little observation, is there is an undertone of green at the Orchard here, okay? Okay, see, there is. There is some Packer fans. And listen, I'm not just talking about, this ain't a guy thing. I'm talking about some hardcore ladies like, give me some Packers, you know what I mean? I mean, there is. In the hallways, I see it, man. I see that green. And, you know, and then there's like 2 Viking fans in the whole place, me and Lucas Bonstra. Hey, oh, no, another one. I see that hand too. But it was really my surreal moment. I go, I'm really in a different state. The bears are everywhere. But perhaps some of you are actually new here today as well. And you've been at the Orchard maybe a few times. And what's going to be great about this time together this morning is that you're going to be able to hear some insights from another new guy. And it's a great time to hear this talk. And also, if you've been here for a period of time, and you know, you've been here for years, it's also going to be a great time for you because here, this is what I know, and many of you can relate to this. If you've been in a place for a while, it's like you can start taking for granted some of the uniqueness and beauty of a place. Isn't that true? I mean, we do it all the time where you're in a place and you kind of think this is the norm everywhere until you actually go somewhere else and you go, wow, that's not the norm. And so some of you, these might be some friendly reminders, things that you already know, but actually you go, wow, you know what? I'm grateful and thankful for that. So you might, if you've been here a while, you might have some of those kind of responses. So this is what I'm thinking too. Somebody asked me when we were asked me, like, what are you going to talk about, Jamie? They said, and I talked about this whole piece of the new guy's perspective. And they said, well, you're not really new, are you? And I go, well, you know what? That was actually true because, you know, I've known Scott for 17 years. I went to school together. I knew Larry, his dad. And Edwina and I have a great relationship with Scott's mom, Ludine, who hosted me for 6 weeks. And can we please give her a round of thanks? I don't know if Ludine is here today. But if you ever see Ludine Hodge, his mom, she's fantastic, and she's been a real blessing to Edwina and I. And I know the whole family. And via friendship with Scott all the years, I know kind of the Orchard's journey. And because I've visited here on and off, I've got snippets and pictures through the years of the Orchard's journey. But this is what I know. There's nothing like being in a place when you're in the everyday culture of the place. Isn't that true? You can see things from afar, you can hear stories, but until you're actually in the whole culture of the place is when you really get a feel and a vibe for what this place is all about. So let me dive right in. Observation number one from a new guy's perspective. The first thing I noticed at the Orchard in this community was this place is filled with great teams. Isn't that true? This place is filled with great teams. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have been, isn't that right, like at your work, isn't it great being on a great team? Isn't that true? It's energizing. You know, I've been on sport teams, football teams, mixed martial arts teams when I did stuff, bodybuilding and fitness teams, church staff teams, ministry teams, all these teams I've been on, and there's nothing like being on a great team. It's totally energizing, but the flip side of that is how many know being on a bad team is totally demotivating. Is that true? And many of us can relate to that experience. We've been on great teams where, like, you know, you go into the parking lot and you see that person's car there and you're, like, excited. And then, like, you know, you go into the other thing where you see the person's car in the parking lot and, like, you know, all those words mumble out of your mouth, man, you know, and you got to go to the bathroom and check your attitude going this. But the importance of being on a great team. And I just want to share this with you. You already may know this, but I'm going to just remind you. My first observation was we have a great staff here at the Orchard. Am I not right? They're great. And being all the teams I've been on, I don't take that for granted. It's really a great team. Scott and I, through the years, we read Jim Collins' book together, Good to Great, and we always converse on the phone. And we've always talked about the importance of having the right people on the team, how important that is to an organization. And Jim Collins paints this language that I love. He says, you know, it's like being on a bus. The bus, first of all, needs to be going in the right direction, okay? Meaning the organization needs to be going in the right direction. But secondly, it's important to get the right people on the bus going in the right direction. But more than that, you need the bus going in the right direction, and you need the right people to be on the bus, but then you got to get people in the right seats on the bus, meaning getting in their strength zones, using their gifts, you know, place where God has uniquely made them and blessed them, get them in the right seats so they can use those. So when you get the bus going in the right direction, you get the right people on the bus, the people in the right seats using their strengths and their gifts, there's nothing like that type of energy. And I've been on teams where I've had that, where you have this certain kind of chemistry and vibe and you get excited. But I've had the bus going in the wrong direction. I've had the bus broken down. I've had the people going, whoa, how'd you get on the bus? And look, how'd you get on the bus? You know, man, you're in my seat. No, you're in my seat. And when you have the alternative going, when people are moving, there's an energy about it. And I'm telling you, you've got people here in the right seats. It's a great team. Scott said this to me a long time ago, and I remembered this, and I told him, I asked him, he believed that behind every great church is a great team. Behind every great church is a great team. And let me tell you what I see in your leadership team here at the Orchard. This is what I observed in my 90 days here with them. They're a group of people who truly love each other. They really do. The people who are serving together on the staff team really love each other. They care for one another way beyond during work hours. Way beyond during work hours. They care for each other's families. When we have had family issues go on in the team, the other person's there calling, texting, emailing. You can sense a genuine concern for each other's families. They're focused. Staff meetings, there is not time wasted. It is focused. And people are using their gifts. People know their gifts. They know who's who. And there's a rhythm and an energy with that in staff meetings. Just so you know, to give you a peek in the inside, it's a great energy that's happening. People are in the right seats, in the bus, in this, creating this whole vibe that's energizing to be in. And this is what I know, too, is that the people on this team truly are sold out to this mission of what God's called us to here. Sold out men and women on that team. And they're there. And this is what else I noticed. Nobody wants to be here, or nobody's here because they have to be here. The people on this team, you can sense they love being here, they want to be here, and more importantly, they feel a calling that they're here. Now, I've been on church staffs before where none of those happen with people. They don't feel called, they're making the paycheck, and they're just making do with the people they're serving. And it's so demotivating. But I can't find one person on this team that has that posture. Their leadership posture is great. And this is what else I noticed about the team here. They are technologically brilliant, okay? Now, I'm actually the low man on the pole, okay? So actually, if you look up on the screen here, I had to actually sneak my 1993 Fisher stereo into late at night because I know if these guys saw me bring in my, and they're about this high, two big speakers, that tape deck, come on, tape deck people. Oh, no. Yes, come on. Give me a clap if you're a tape person still. Okay. Yeah, all of us like 40 and over, we're like, tapes. Right, Led Zeppelin right there. Okay. But I'm serious. I have tapes too, and I had to sneak that in. I am actually the low person on this poll. I'm dead serious. But listen, they are. They're technologically brilliant. Now, let me tell you this. Probably one of the perks that I love is this team loves to have fun together. They really do. Laughing and practical jokes. Now, do me a favor. If you see Jackson Price and Ben Thomas in the hallways, ask them about their initiation experience, the joke that was played on them, on both of them. Just ask them what that was all about. You'll get a kick out of that. But really, this team loves to have fun. Now, this is how much fun we like to have, little practical jokes, is that we have a dog, my wife and I, we are dog lovers, and we have a little Italian greyhound named Valentino, okay? And he's, you know, like 15 pounds. And any of you guys know about Italian greyhounds? They are like anorexic skinny, okay? And he, this week, Tuesday, he had gotten an abscess tooth. And I didn't know this at the time, but his face with a skinny dog with a snout like this, all of a sudden the left side of his face looked like the elephant dog. It just kind of popped up. And I saw him. And I got like, whoa, what is that? And I took him to that the vet next door here. I took him to the vet, and I was nervous. I called Edwina. I was like, man, I'm nervous. I hope something's not wrong with him, and I don't want him to die, and I'm shedding a tear and all this stuff, and I'm kind of feeling deep about it. And so Scott, Scott called me and said, where you at? You know, and I said, hey, I'm at, or he texted me, where you at? And I go, yeah, my dog got sick, man, and I'm in the vet place. And so the next day, he calls me, and I got the message, and I'm driving Valentino around to get the medication. And he calls me, I listen to the message, he says, Jamie, I really have a word from the Lord for your dog. And I got kind of deep. Now listen, I'm a Pentecostal to the bone. Man, I believe in praying, laying hands on the dog, and I'm ready. Go, God, give me what you have. If you're speaking to Scott about the healing of my pet, because I don't want that dog to die and then be miserable on Sunday before the people, I laid hand. I'm right there. I'm there. I'm saying he's ready. He's talking. And I had my hands laid on him. And this is what he did. Check it out. We recorded it. Listen to the voicemail.
Hey, Jamie. Hey, man, as I was driving here, I kind of feel like I have a... It's going to sound kind of weird, but I feel like I have kind of a word from the Lord for your dog.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Valentino. So just go by him. And I just want you to repeat what I believe the Lord has given me, okay?
Gotcha, Scott, gotcha.
So go ahead, get by him and lay your hand on him and just repeat this exactly how I received from the Lord, okay? You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Ready.
Woo! That's it, man. So, hope that is encouraging to him. I hope that he receives that, okay? All right.
Yeah, Scott, thanks, man. He hook, line, and sinkered my butt, man. He got me, and, you know, it's... but. After I got over being mad and wanted to do some MMA moves on my boss, it was so funny. And stuff like that, that's what, just to give you a peek what goes on behind the scenes, there's that type of energy. And most importantly, this is what I observed about them. They love you. I can't tell you that enough. This team that God has called here loves you. And how do I know that? In my 90 days here, I hear the conversations. I hear them, the phone calls. I hear when they get excited about their meeting with a person. When you hear them pray for you in their offices. When they bring a concern in a staff meeting about a sickness or somebody's hurting and they pray. About uplifting or get excited about something you were excited about and they're sharing it within the team. I have been on church staff teams. That's not always been the case. They're always complaining about the people, what they're doing or not doing. And you know what? That's not the energy in this team. They really love you. I did a little question on Facebook that I got quite a few responses from. I asked, what do you love about the Orchard? And listen to what Rachel Garmer said. She said this, it's amazing how supportive the Orchard team is helping us along the journey. And that's what I've observed in my 90 days. It's a great team. But let me just share this too. It's not just the staff team. In my 90 days, I've observed the other teams around here. The people who are serving on the ministry teams here love what they're doing. They really do. And we should celebrate that, shouldn't we? The teams here love what they're doing. If you go to worship team and you look on Orchard Kids team, student ministries, common grounds, welcoming teams, these people are filled with love for what they do, and that's a clapping moment right there, because that is. My observation is to be in a place where people get excited about serving and being on a team together and working together. That energy and vibe coming in as a pastor, and you see people excited about serving, that's unique and that's beautiful, and I appreciate that. The only thing I would say would be this, is you can always say this into a community. The team is always incomplete. Because there is people that are here and these other two services that are here in our community that still are not serving somewhere. And all I would say is sometimes what stops people from serving is they feel like, you know what, I don't know if I have anything to give. And I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. You really have a uniqueness and a blessing. Every single one of us has something special that God has placed in us and wants us to give to somebody, whether it be kids or students or welcoming teams, making coffee, saying hello. There's something more. And I encourage you, those who aren't involved on being on some of our great teams, man, go to the website, click connect, find a place you can serve and dive right in. Well, here's my second observation. And this one is huge. This is a grace-filled community. And what do I mean by that? Because I've listened to the stories, there is people who really understand their stance and their posture and their relationship with God. You really see people walking in newness of life. You see people understanding that God loves them so much and God loves them unconditionally. And when you see that within a community, when you see a passion and a love for God and understanding who He is and what He's done in your life, that is contagious. And you hear it in the stories. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, you hear people say things like, you know what, since I've been in this community, God has really spoken to my heart and I've understood a new kind of love. They say things like that, new kind of love, a new kind of grace, a new kind of understanding of who He is. You hear that in the stories, and I'm tedious about asking people about their stories. I want to know, what's God doing? Where are you at? And that is a common thread throughout this community, that people understand the grace of God. And more than that, they say things like, I understand the grace within other people in which they've given me, meaning this. They'd say things like, man, I came here broken, and I came here like baggage, but I felt accepted. I didn't feel judged. I felt like I could be honest and open. I felt like as God was working through some of my issues, I didn't have to hide it everywhere. Things like, this community is about people to second chances. You would hear language like that and stories like that, that people understand the grace of God, but they also understood live out grace to one another. It is a grace-filled community, unconditional love. Whatever has happened in your life, you hear stories like, but that's not the end of my story. I've been broken, I've been hurt, but I feel hope here. I feel like God's not through with me yet. And that is exhilarating to sit back and as a pastor and as a friend to listen to people's stories like that. I go and it's motivating. I got a journal, man. I journal that stuff because I go, look what God's doing. If I ever get too wrapped up in ministry, I can go to my journal and look at going, look at what this sister said. Look at what this brother said. Look at what God is building in this community. Well, I thought about it for a moment. I said, well, what is the byproduct of having a grace-filled community? People that understand the grace of God and understand also grace with one another. What's the byproduct of that? Well, the first thing that came to mind was restoration and healing is a byproduct. When you actually are in a community and you're holding hands and you're together and you start to know each other's stories, all of a sudden the byproduct of living in a grace-filled community is restoration and healing. You see people that have been struggling for years with something, an addiction or a hurt or shame or guilt, but in a grace-filled community, they're still maybe carrying that, but they're able to walk in and slowly start the journey of restoration and healing. Story after story after story after story that you hear that. That is unique and beautiful about the Orchard. Restoration and healing is a byproduct. Well, secondly, I thought, well, what's another byproduct? Authenticity. Scott Evans said this in the Facebook comment, what do you love about your church? In short, he said this, I love that I can be open and honest. I can cut through the garbage, and I can be who I need to be and allow God to work. Well, that's the byproduct of being in a grace-filled community. You can quit, you can take off the mask and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, let me just walk in and feel the grace of God and the grace to one another. Healing, restoration, authenticity. Well, and the third thing is freedom. You can come into a community and truly say, like the scripture says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And you have a guy like James Vidmar who texts me when I ask him the question. He says, you know what I love about the Orchard? I love the fact I can be myself. There's freedom in that. I know we're not perfect. We still come with our stuff. But at least if I walk into a grace-filled community, restoration and healing can be a byproduct. Authenticity, quit with the masks. We all got stuff, and you can start to be honest and start to walk on the journey of healing and restoration and being honest and finding freedom and truly saying in a religious circle, whom the Son set free is free indeed. An Orchard, once again, that is unique. I wish we could say that about every church community, that you can walk in and have it grace-filled. Unfortunately, in my 18 years of ministry, you can see legalists. You can see lists of do's and don'ts. You can see people shunning people when they're starting to be honest. And it's sad, because that's not what we're supposed to be about. But many of you know this. I'm speaking to the choir. You know this, but just to remind you, my observation from a new guy, grace-filled community. Grace-filled community. And it's beautiful and unique. Third observation is this, and this one probably hits home maybe the most for me personally, because the reason why I'm here, the Orchard is committed to families. The Orchard is committed to families. And how do I know that? Scott made reference to it. He said, you know, just committing to my wife and I and bringing us from Minnesota down here, just the commitment shown to bring us here and to create a role, put investment into that, and say we want somebody to be the champion for families. We want somebody to hold the banner high and say we love our families. I mean, that's unique. A family ministries director that's just thinking about families and helping the best and helping equip and empower and do whatever we can do to help families be the best they can be. Help dads be the best they can be. Help moms be the best they can be. Now I do understand this. I've been in children and student ministry enough, and I've had parents' expectation come in, and they want me to be the spiritual Superman. Like if I took off my chest, I'd have that big S with my pecs diggling and dangling and looking strong, okay? And they do. There's like, I've had to start having honest conversations. I'm going, really, the most powerful thing in the universe is the love of God with the family at home. I mean, that ultimately, parents, you are the spiritual superheroes. You are. I mean, you guys are the one. But I understand this. There's a partnership. And this is what makes it unique. There's a partnership with the love of families with the light of the church. And that partnership is what makes the Orchard really committed, because they're committed to building family ministry here. Well, what does that look like? Well, one of the things would be like this. It wouldn't be, in some churches you'll see like fragmented, you know, pre-K and fragmented kindergarten and fifth graders and junior highs over here and senior highs doing their own thing over here. From birth to like 18, there's these fragmented, you know, ministry areas. Well, the commitment to the Orchard is we're concerned from birth all the way up to graduation in family ministries. We're committed to making all these areas function together as a team, as a unit, and make it all come under the umbrella of family ministries. And that's unique. It's a unique perspective. And that shows the Orchard commitment to families. Well, what's another way that they show commitment? And I love this part. It's their commitment in what they teach. I came in here and they had a focus on what they were teaching the kids. And the pre-K, listen to the three basic truths, that all the curriculum is intertwined into these three basic truths in pre-K. God made me, God loves me, Jesus wants to be my friends forever. Do you imagine just as adults, we struggle with that? God made me, has a plan for me. I don't know, does he? God loves me. I don't feel it today. Jesus wants to be my friends forever. I don't know, man. Not after what I did. You know what I mean? We can feel that way as adults. You know, but do you imagine hearing that over and over and over again, weekend after weekend, with loving adults who want to invest, and you say, you know what, sweetie, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. God loves you, sweetie, okay? And God made you with such a special purpose. Do you know that? And you know what? Just so you know this, Jesus is going to be your friend for the rest of your life. And you see them look at you like that, they will remember that. It's a commitment to families. And then when they go to K5, listen to the three basic truths too. I need to make wise choices. I can trust God no matter what. I should treat others the way I want to be treated. So you sit there with this fourth grader and go, listen. You're getting in trouble at school. You got to stop bullying, okay? You're getting in trouble. I know you got big muscles and you want to be like Hulk Hogan, but okay, you gotta start treating people the way I want to be treated. What does that mean? Well, these are the things that you do. I mean, it's amazing when you see this. Listen, Adam, I know you probably want me to single them up, but I've watched Adam and Sarah, storytellers in K5. The energy, the passion, preparedness that is there, you can see the love of God beamed all over their spirit. Because they want to invest in the kids here at the Orchard. And I've seen it all the way through. They're just one example. I can give names after names after, and I see some of you in the crowd already who are committed to families. And imagine if we get kids all the way coming through into high school and they hear these messages by loving adults over and over again. Now, this would be my only challenge is this. And I've seen this, it isn't just in the Orchard community, but this is only one of my little observations that I'll see. We have some rocking ladies, moms and mothers and just young ladies who aren't even moms, who are rocking Orchard kids from nursery, you know, all the way to K5. They're rocking. And the guys who we do have there, they're sold out. Many of you guys who are committed, they're sold out. But only thing I'll say is this, and let me just give you a friendly encouragement. These boys who are in these environments, let me tell you the impact of a man coming in there and spending time with that second grader and sitting next to him, and you're talking about their week. And as you're talking, you're able to share with him and you're talking about his life, and you're able to say, well, just so you know, I know things are tough. You hear things are tough at home. But you know what, Mark, let me tell you something. God loves you. And Jesus really is your friend forever. I know when things get hard at home and you're not seeing your dad, I just want to let you know God loves you. And just so you know, I love you too. It's amazing what happens to a young boy when he sees another man say, Jesus loves you and so do I. It's amazing the impact. I've been in 18 years with children and students, and some of the most impacting calls that I have was these kids who I've spent 15 years ago, you know, and now they're like 25, and they're calling, which means I'm getting older, okay? And they're calling me at 25, and they're sitting there saying, Jamie, thanks. Thanks. Young guy who now didn't have a father figure, and now he's like, Jamie, thanks. I remembered you. I remembered you in one of my classes. And all I'll say, fellas, is this. That's just the friendly challenge. We need more men. We need more men to kind of step in and give the best of you as a man in our environments. And that would be my only encouragement. But family ministries, huge commitment here at the Orchard. I've observed it. And I love that, and it's a big reason why I'm here. Last observation is this, and this is really probably the most passionate because I've seen this for a while, and this one, it didn't take me long to really know this was happening because this is one I have observed from afar, but now actually being in it, it just confirmed everything I knew. This place is moving. I can't even, what more can I say? I mean, that's really the heart of it. This place is moving. This place is going somewhere. There's something about, this place has big dreams. It has a big vision to reach and connect Aurora in the name of Jesus with all the love and grace and kindness to reach this city. You see it, big plans, big vision. It has an energy about it. Only thing I can compare it to is I haven't experienced it in a lot of different places I've been at. It's, you know, there's been some places I've been at that are moving and shaking and doing their thing, but something about the Orchard community as a whole is moving and rocking. And we were talking about this a little bit, Scott and I was, and I liked what he said. He goes, whatever blessings this church received in the past, looked at me dead in the eye and said, it's not going to be compared to what God's going to start doing. And when he says that, you see of such spiritual conviction. And I believe it. I mean, it doesn't take long. It took me 90 days to just confirm an exclamation point to saying, you know what, this place is trucking, it's moving. And why is that important? Because that's the heart of God for you. God wants to get you moving, bring transformation. And it's funny about who God is, because God is a God of movement. From Genesis to Revelations, you see in Scripture that he's all about moving. He's the unchanging God of change, isn't he? God is who he is. I'm the author, I'm the finisher of your faith. I'm the Prince of Peace, I'm the King of Kings, I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm Wonderful Counselor, I'm Mighty God, I'm who I am. I'm all powerful, but all good. And I want to breathe into your life and bring new change and new transformation, get you moving. And then after that passion, he said, then I want to just get inside transformed, and then I'm actually going to send you, and I want you to be a witness into all the world. I mean, it's who God is. Look at it. From Genesis, that's intertwined. God is a God of movement, unchanging God who changes everything. But the alternative of movement is being stuck. And unfortunately, you just got to look at the Israelite history. Here's a God who says, you know what, I love you. I'm going to move you out of slavery, out of bondage, and man, I'm going to send you to the promised land. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you. And you know what? I'm going to show you pillars of fire. I'm going to open the Red Sea. And they see all these magnificent moves of God. But yet, once they see all that stuff, what happens? They come, they sit. They sit with other Israelites, and what did they do? Complained. I ain't getting nothing. I come here, God, what are you doing? And it's over and over again. You see people get stuck in that posture. I don't know what God's doing. But if we got to know, God is a God of movement. And what's refreshing about the Orchard community, my observation, is people aren't sitting there like me and Adam were. I hear the stories. You hear the testimonies. Get your ear to the ground, and you hear them. You hear people saying, look at what God is doing in my life. They're not giving testimonies about what God did 17 years ago. There's testimonies about what God is doing now. And collectively, there's a certain kind of power in that. And when you're in a church community where God is moving and shaking and people are receptive and open, it's exciting to be around. Man, I'm 90 days and I'm excited. I get totally excited about being in this church community. And I love it because God is moving. I really believe that. And what's important to you is to know, if you feel stuck, know that you're in a community that God is here and he wants to get you moving. If you feel stuck, knowing that that's not the way he wants you to be, he wants to breathe that new life into you. He wants to give you a second chance. He wants to forgive you. He wants to bring change into your life. He loves you. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to bring that energy back into your heart at work. He wants to give you a purpose and potential. I mean, the language in the scriptures about who God says we are is phenomenal. God's agenda is about conforming us into the image of his son. That's the whole God's agenda. Romans 8, 29, Jeremiah 29, 11, for many are the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Galatians, Paul said it, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it is Christ that lives in me. And the life I'm going to live in this body, I'm going to live it by faith in the Son of God. Why? Because he loved me and gave himself up for me. So when you're in a community where Christ is indwelling in you, the Spirit's agenda is to release the life of Christ out into your brother or your sister in your community. We're supposed to release that light because it's in there. And when that's happening within a community, not just, you know, one-on-one with a couple people, but when that kind of power is happening in a community, God is moving. And that's an observation. Observations from a new guy. My closing is this, and many of you know this, but I hope you know how blessed you really are. Really, this is a great community, and Edwina and I are privileged to serve here with you. We are privileged. I don't take time or none of this for granted. We don't. And we're privileged to be in a community like this that has great teams, that is grace-filled, that has a focus and a commitment to families, and a place we really believe God is moving. And I love that. And during our Thanksgiving time, this is what I would encourage you to do. In your families, during Thanksgiving, just start to thank God for this community. Now, those are things I've observed, but I know you've got lists of things that you're grateful for, what God has done here. Take time with your family, sit down, and have a time of prayer, and just go with your kids or around and say, what are you grateful for at the Orchard? What has God been doing? What do you love? What do we want to thank God for? I challenge you to do that because there's so much to be grateful for. Am I right? There really is. So we thank God for that. Can you pray with me this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we praise you for who you are. We can always praise you for who you are. The scriptures tell us you're a king, you're God, you're all powerful, you're almighty. You're the one who created everything in the universe. We praise you for your greatness. But Lord, we also praise you for your goodness. We praise you, you're more than just a mighty God, you're a loving Father. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. You're a God of forgiveness, a God of tenderness. Jesus showed us how tender you were in the prodigal son parable, that you didn't come casting stones in judgment, the son who had fallen away, but you were waiting at the hill, and with a tenderness in your eyes, you engaged the son who was wayward. We serve that type of God who celebrates the fact that we've come home, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we thank you also for what you've done. We thank you for the things in this Thanksgiving time, 2011. We thank you for what you've done in our past. All those things that we can be grateful for. We're thankful for what you're doing right now in our lives. And Lord, we also want to thank you for what you're going to do in our lives in this community. Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes from above. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise?